Here we go, another episode of Locked On 49ers, breaking down the NFL draft, all seven rounds in the book, some undrafted free agents as well, breaking down day three of the draft today, rounds four, five, six, seven. A lot of picks, a lot of undrafted free agents to talk about right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Croc, did you put any money down on the NFL draft with the draft props? I kind of forgot late in the process to do it. There was some I liked going into draft day, like Stingley, I think was way too high. I knew he was going under. But the only one I put money on was way back at the beginning of the process.
It
was
Hamilton
for Kyle Hamilton, and I definitely cashed on that one.
Nah, I should have. I wish I would have. I, you know, obviously I was out there in Dallas, and just the pre-draft production and just the production of everything and everything that kind of went in there, it just kind of slipped my mind to, hey, by the way, put money on some of these guys.
It's so fun. I love draft props too, and usually I put more money on it and throw some in on a bunch of different prospects. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm like battling the blinds here. This part of the day, this one window, the sun just beats in on the side, and like the blinds don't block out that one little part, you know, where the little circles are. So it always goes right in my eyes and right in my face. So that's what's going on right now. I'm definitely battling that today. By the way, Croc, I gotta say, you guys killed it on the coverage all weekend long on the live Locked On NFL Draft show on the Locked On NFL channel. By the way, the Peacock and Williamson show Tuesday is kicking off coverage. Peacock and Williamson has been audio only this whole time. We're going on YouTube as well, covering the entire NFL. It'll be on the Locked On NFL channel, the same place that I hope you guys were watching Crocker all weekend long. Croc, you guys were awesome. That was I expected it to be good. It blew me away. It was so much better than I even expected.
You know, it was interesting. And here's why. One, that was my first time doing anything like that, like being live. So I remember doing the walkthrough of it. That's what I call it. I don't know what they call it, but I call it a walkthrough. That's what I'm used to. You know, before games, the day before the games, you typically do a walkthrough of everything that you're going to do. So we did that. They tested our mics and everything, the hearing things. So it was weird for me to have someone in my ear. Like, hey, you guys, touch on this, carried it. Like, I've never had that before.
Was
sometimes while we're talking. No, it wasn't Ross.
It wasn't Ross.
It was, gosh, can't think of your name right now.
Was it Doug?
Nope.
I know Doug was involved. Doug Branson. Shout out to Doug Branson here on the network.
Allie.
Oh, Allie. Yeah, Allie.
Yeah, so, you know, you can hear her in your ear telling you, oh, touch on this.
Croc, stop picking your nose. And you're like, oh, okay. Stand up.
Yeah, they'll tell you. Yeah, so that was cool, just kind of that whole experience. But I was so nervous. Like, I was so nervous. And when it's live like that, we talk every day here. I talk every morning on my YouTube channel live to all the 49ers, like sometimes 1,000 people, and I'm fine. But I got in front of that and all the, you know, just the cameras, and I was like, gosh, I'm a little nervous. So I started to kind of settle in a little bit, but it was never like 100% comfort. I will get there. I can't wait to do it again because it was cool. But I would say what made us different, and this is not just because I'm on the network, but typically when you watch the NFL draft, your team might draft someone, they'll announce it, they might show a little highlight, and then they might talk about it a little bit, but then they move on. What we did was awesome. It was your player got drafted, we'd announce it, it would go to the big screen. One of your local experts, which typically they know more about the team than the national media, for sure, about the ins and outs, everything going on with the team. They talk about the team 5 days a week, wherever you know, listen to your podcast. But it goes to them, and they had the colleges. So we have Locked On College shows. They had the colleges call in. They would talk about the prospect, what they saw, and the ins and outs. It was amazing. And I thought it was so much information on each prospect. For the most part, each prospect. Now, obviously, once you get into like day three and stuff, maybe I didn't know a whole lot about somebody. It might be surface level. But even then, when you go to the college guys, they knew And then they bring in the pro team they got drafted by, and then they would talk about how it impacted their team and what maybe their role could be. It was so great, and it was much better than even I expected.
It was fantastic, and I could tell you guys got looser and looser, and then the seventh round comes, and you know, late day three, it's less about each prospect and each pick. You kind of had some fun, and I saw you and Isaiah Standback, go up there and do the demonstration, and that was really fun to watch wide receiver versus DB and see you guys up there and Bukowski at quarterback. So yeah, it was fun. You guys really killed it. So yeah, props to everybody behind the scenes and all you guys on camera as well. You did a great job.
Thank you.
That being said, Nick Zuk, scouting report, go.
Nick who? cut it out, my bad. Yeah,
Nick Zakel, the 49ers' sixth round pick, offensive tackle out of Fordham. Did you spend a lot of time on him pre-draft?
I spent no time on him pre-draft, but I have been diving in and really kind of get more in-depth notes on a lot of these prospects. So as we go on, we will have episodes about these guys, and we'll be able to dive more in depth and have like real analysis on all of these guys. I have gotten through a few guys to be able to talk about those guys in detail, but haven't gotten to Nick Zabowski yet.
Nick Zakel. It's easy. Okay, it looks more difficult than it is. Nick Zakel, I believe, is how you pronounce Zakel. It. There's a J in there for some odd reason. Out of Fordham. And I feel like the 49ers sort of went into sleeper mode early. And I'm talking third round early, right? Going running back LSU. That I thought was a day three guy. Danny Gray, not necessarily sleeper because all 49ers fans knew about him. Everybody knew about his speed. The 49ers had visited with him. I think he's probably the most common player mocked at that 105 pick to the 49ers in the end was Danny Gray. But then in rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, Niners had a lot of picks. Biggest shocker of the whole day is there were zero trades, right? John Lynch didn't make a single trade.
How'd you ask?
Picks 2 years ago, traded zero this year. That was shocking to me.
I had to ask you, and it's tough, right? Because, you know, I was live the whole time, so I couldn't be dialed into every single thing the 49ers were doing. But obviously, I'd see the screen, and I'd see when the 49ers were on the clock. But I didn't know, like, did they trade up to get to that spot, or were they originally there? And, you know, there's not really much time to kind of check. So that was one thing where we're like, oh, 100%, the 49ers will not stay put. They're going to move up, move back several times in this draft. And they traded zero times. We talked about the over-under on trades, and we definitely would have been wrong.
Oh, for sure. That's the wrongest I've been about the 49ers. Anything 49ers draft-related in a long time was this draft and the 49ers not making any trades. Spencer Burford out of Texas San Antonio in round 4, pick 29 in round 4. Really interesting player here to me. And if we're looking overall with the 49ers draft, one thing is clear to me. It's that running the ball is important. And the 49ers have a lot of guards. And I don't know if it's because they're not sure about Banks. I don't know if they're trying to plug the hole of Laken Tomlinson. I don't know if they expect Mack to be gone and Daniel Brunskill is the plan at center. And so they need to make sure they've got coverage at a lot of guard spots, but Spencer Burford could play some tackle, but he might also be a guard. And to be honest with you, when you look at Spencer Burford and you look at Nick Zakel, that were the two day three draft picks on the offensive line, it fits right in line with what the 49ers have done in the past on the offensive line in day three with guys like Colton McKivitz and Justin School. And They're try-hard players that might not be body beautiful, that might not meet the height, weight, speed standard of someone you're looking for as a starter on, you know, day one or two, but they get the job done, and there is some traits to work with here. And I think the one trait that stands out to me with Spencer Burford is the arm length. He's got like 35-inch arms. He's got really long arms, which makes me think he can stay at tackle. And I think the fact that the 49ers drafted him in round 4 makes me believe that they think he can stick at tackle too.
And now, position versatility, that's a big thing with the 49ers, but you definitely need depth at that tackle position. And it was funny, a lot of 49er fans, they wanted them to address the offensive line right away. And I saw the tweets. I was checking Twitter. I'm kind of, you know, I got my ear to the ground with the 49er fans. And
I saw you hiding your phone behind the pillow on the TV set. I saw that. You might not know, but yeah. I saw you hiding it there. I knew you were checking your tweets during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, I'm checking during the commercial breaks. I'm seeing what everyone has to say. And a lot of people are very upset that the 49ers waited to address the offensive line. But what I will say is, I don't think it matters if you address it third round, fourth round, fifth round. Just address it. And that's all I want to see by at the end of the day. And I thought they did a good job of getting not just multiple guys in the draft, but the undrafted free agents as well, which we will talk about.
I don't know if you hear my cat. My cat's going crazy right now.
Nope, can't hear it.
I throw my hat at him. And yeah, so running the ball is important to the 49ers. They drafted the third round running back when I thought maybe they wouldn't draft a running back, period. And if they did, it should be a day three thing. And they did something very similar to what they did last year. They drafted two offensive linemen and a third round running back last year. They drafted another two offensive linemen and a third round running back again this year. Their running back was at the 230 pound variety, slimmed down to run his 40 during workouts. Spencer Burford, though, is only 6'4", 304 pounds out of Texas San Antonio. And you know what's really funny is looking at the ESPN blurbs on these players, I thought this was amazing. And it really hit on a point that is clearly something the 49ers look for when they look for offensive linemen. When you're looking for a wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan, he has to be able to take a slant to the house, right? That's what you should be looking for. When you're looking for an offensive lineman for the 49ers, there's got to be some bit of a nasty streak there, and they're not worried about body beautiful players at all. And check this out. So Steve Munch, who does the blurbs for ESPN's, the Scouts Inc. or whatever it's called there at ESPN that do the profiles for all these players, Spencer Burford. This is the first line of his scouting report. Burford gets into position, blocks to the echo of the whistle, and flashes the ability to move defenders off the ball in the run game. Okay?
Sounds like a 49er to me.
Yes. Now, Nick Sakel, sixth round pick. Here's the first line of, or no, sorry, here's the second line of his scouting report. Actually, the first two lines of the scouting report. Sakel has the quickness and size to get into position and wall off defenders in the run game. He tends to stall out, but he blocks to the echo of the whistle and flashes the ability to generate some push. It is the exact same scouting report in the same words, blocks to the echo of the whistle. These guys block to the whistle and just a second after the whistle. I thought that was interesting. And I don't know how many offensive linemen Steve used that line on, but it was the exact same line on both of those prospects. So the 49ers clearly have a type as it pertains to offensive linemen.
Yes. Yeah, so that, now that one sounded like a legit zone blocking offensive lineman. I like it.
Yeah, I think Nick Sakel more guard. I think Spencer Burford has a chance to stick a tackle first, but then does have that guard versatility. We're talking tackles and guards here, Kruk, which means they did not draft a center to replace Alex Mack. Let's get into that next. Some of the other players the 49ers drafted on day three, plus the undrafted free agent haul as well. But I want to tell the folks out there about Bet Online. I mentioned my bet earlier, cashed on the taking the over on when Kyle Hamilton would be selected. I believe it was 6.5 when I got it. He ended up going 14 overall. No more draft props at Bet Online, but you can bet on Super Bowl futures, who the next MVP, defensive player of the year, coach of the year will be in the 2022 season in the NFL. And of course, NBA playoffs are going. Major League Baseball is happening as well. And betonline.net remains your number one source for all the betting stats and sports information this season. BetOnline is your continued source, not only for sports wagering, but information and live betting and playoffs and esports and more Vegas casino games as well. If blackjack, you want to make a bet on a game, then watch the game, then play a little blackjack or poker while you wait to see if the other bet cashes, you can do that at BetOnline. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. I do want to say again, Kruk, you guys did a fantastic job. Thanks, everybody, who listened and watched live to the Locked On NFL Draft live show. That was fantastic stuff. And just know that there's so much coverage here on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to talk about fantasy football, dynasty football, if different sports, San Francisco Giants is your thing, there's a podcast for it. If you're, God forbid, a Los Angeles Lakers fan, there is a podcast for that here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Lake Show.
Yeah, and don't forget to make Locked On NFL Draft and Peacock and Williamson your second listen after Locked On 49ers. Okay, Croc. Talked a little bit about the offensive linemen. I like you. I did watch a lot of Spencer Burford after they made his selection in round four, and I liked him. Not a body beautiful player. Did remind me a lot of Justin School and Colton McKivitz, but longer armed player. I think he has more of a chance to maybe be a tackle, maybe not a starting tackle, but he has some nasty, somewhat athletic on tape. He tested terribly, which is why I think some people didn't have him rated as highly as a fourth round pick, but I can see how he's a fit for the 49ers, and I like him, and I think he's going to get a shot to maybe play that swing tackle role, because I think Jalen Moore and Aaron Banks are going to be fighting inside for one of those guard jobs, and if Brunskill's moving inside to center potentially, then you know there's going to be a fight there at guard, and maybe Burford's involved in that. Maybe Nick Zakel out of Fordham is also involved there. Nick Zakel, very similar to Burford, just a shorter arm player, I think is more likely just to go straight into guard and stay there in the NFL. But we'll have more as we watch more tape on all these guys and go more in depth in coming episodes, coming days, coming weeks here on the podcast. Just want to go a little overview style on day three of the NFL draft. Do you think that the Alex Mack stuff, there was too much made of it? Do you think John Lynch was maybe playing it up? I don't know how it would have helped the 49ers to make teams think that maybe they needed a center potentially, but either they already have a plan at center or Alex Mack isn't going anywhere. And I kind of lean toward Alex Mack is probably not going anywhere, right?
I lean towards that way too. Again, if they didn't address it, they typically will address needs. I lean towards that. Or they said, you know what? I think we can get Mr. West out of Arizona State undrafted. That's the insurance. Remember, we like Brunskill. So, all right, we have Brunskill. He can play center if need be. And let's get a guy like West. And if Mac ends up retiring, we have a little bit of insurance policy.
And I would have been surprised after, you know, the first maybe two centers were drafted that Kyle Shanahan was going to be cool with a center coming in, a rookie center coming in and starting. So I think that a veteran player, otherwise being the starter at center, if Alex Mack does retire, but I have a feeling the 49ers expect Alex Mack to not retire since they didn't attack that position very hard. And do you think the 49ers were a year ahead with some of these things? Do you think they were a year ahead looking at cornerback last year? And that's why they drafted two corners. Do you think they were a year ahead looking at Laken Tomlinson? That's why they drafted a guard in the second round. Do you think they're a year ahead with Mike McGlinchey and Alex Mack, thinking we need to draft a guard to replace McGlinchey, or we need to make sure we have Brunskill replaced at guard if Brunskill moves inside to center, and we need to make sure we have a potential couple of tackles, you know, Jalen Moore, Spencer Burford, that could potentially play right tackle if we don't re-sign Mike McGlinchey after this year?
No, I think a lot of it is just creating competition. And that's one thing that they really pride themselves on doing. They have a really good roster, so it's not like there's just a ton of spots that are open, but definitely a few spots that, hey, guys can come in and compete, or at the very least compete for a rotation starting or a rotation spot on his roster. So if you look at the cornerback position and they go out and they get a couple guys like Castro Fields, or the nickel, which I don't know what his name is right now, but let's say the nickel that they got from
Samuel Womack out of Toledo.
Womack, there we go, out of Toledo. I want to say Temple, all right? And I will have pretty good in-depth information on him down the line. But between those two guys, like, all right, Womack, like, we don't really have a nickel right now. So not saying he's going to come in and play, but maybe they feel comfortable with Emmanuel Mosley playing there. Maybe they say, hey, there is a Damador Lenore. Or Womack, maybe you can come in, blow us away, and you start full-time. Or at least get to a point where maybe Mosley starts off and Womack starts to work his way in. He's beating out Lenore. Maybe there's something they don't like about him. Whatever the case is. But I think creating that type of competition. Castro Fields on the outside. All right, play on the outside. Well, we've seen the 49ers had to deal with a lot of injuries. Last year, they started with their two starting corners. In the Eagles game, they didn't have Verrett, who is done for the year already, or Mosley. So, hey, maybe you can go and compete with Ambry Thomas, who we like, but if you can come and beat him out and you can get that rotation spot, great. So I think a lot of it is to build competition as well. Aaron Banks, you didn't play at all, right? You played Only second round pick to play less snaps than him was the quarterback from Florida, Kyle Trask. and he was playing for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
That's the only second round pick to play less snaps than Aaron Banks. He didn't play. So, you know what? We're going to get some guys come in that could potentially play. We're going to get some undrafted guys. They're going to come in. They're going to be hungry. And we're going to create some competition. How are you going to react? I like that process.
The first guys that the first rookies that made an appearance last year for the 49ers, I mean, and Trey Lance got in there a little bit earlier in the season and then kind of went away. But for a pick, he wasn't involved a lot as a rookie. Aaron Banks was not involved at all. Third round pick was Trey Sermon. He was not involved much at all early and was definitely not involved at all late in the season. The guys who made the biggest impact early was fifth and sixth rounders. It was Diamador Lenore was the first corner to show up, right? And it was Elijah Mitchell at running back. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if you told me the rookie that played the most this year out of this draft class was fifth round nickel corner Samuel Womack.
Won't be surprised at all. I can't wait to watch him.
We will have more in-depth scouting reports on all these guys. We're going to put in some work, watch some tape. We don't want to be premature with our takes on some of these. I did have a chance to watch some of these guys pre-draft. Some of them I watched a little bit after the 49ers select them. So some more thoughts on day three for the 49ers and the undrafted free agents coming up. Let's talk a little bit about Built Bar, though, because summer is coming. And with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a bar, so you are fueled for your summer adventures. And the best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. No matter what kind of flavors you like, they've got you covered at Built.com. They got the Built Bar Puffs, the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They've got some Built Granola Bars that are on the way. New flavors rotating in all the time, different holidays. So always check Built.com for the newest flavors, and you can build your own box of Built Bars as well. And the best part, covered in 100% real chocolate, you do feel like you are getting a treat and not missing out, even though you are eating a healthy snack. Most Built Bars contain only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. So get over to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Croc, let's talk a little bit more about day three here for the San Francisco 49ers. When you read the scouting report for Samuel Womack, and I've watched a little bit of him, and I do like how he sticks his nose in there, the scouting report reads like K'Wan Williams. Like, if you swapped out the scouting report for K'Wan Williams and Samuel Womack, you'd be like, how come he's so fast? Basically, he's a 4.39 version of K'Wan Williams, according to the scouting report, right? Like everything that you would say about K'Wan Williams, you hear that in the scouting reports about Samuel Womack. And I've watched a little bit, and I like, you know, an undersized guy who will stick his nose in there against the run, has some ability to cover, broke up a lot of passes in college. So, you know, he makes an impact, which is easier in college, and you usually put your best defender in the slot in college these days because that's where you're closer to the ball and you have a chance to make that impact. So I'm excited to watch more of Samuel Womack, and I'm excited to hear, Croc, your scouting report on the cornerback out of Toledo, a former walk-on too. I love those guys. Like, I don't
tough guy.
You always hear about the five. This guy was a 5-star recruit, and it's like, well, why is he washing out and you're drafting him at his third college on day three? I want the walk-on that was, 150 pounds when he was 18 years old, that made himself into something and made himself into a draft pick. Those are the guys that excite me, and the late bloomers. I like those guys. So that's what it sounds like Samuel Womack is.
Real quick, if he ran a 4.39, the one thing he has on K'Wan Williams, at least the K'Wan Williams that I've grown to know, right, he has better vertical speed. And I think that was one of the kind of issues with K'Wan Williams. As great as he was in certain areas, he definitely was a liability on certain things. And teams started attacking him with the slot fades. He was very vulnerable there. And I always noted, it has a tough time running vertically with guys. He was great in 2019. He hung out more in the slot than was a pure man guy who was asked to do those vertically pushing routes. Having a guy like maybe Womack, again, not sure what's going to come of it, but if he has that vertical speed, I think that definitely helps the 49ers.
Yep. So the little I've watched of it, the more I like of Samuel Womack in the pick there. We're talking late fifth round too. So if he becomes your number one nickel, that's huge value for the 49ers. So I think back-to-back fifth rounders D'Amador Lenore, Samuel Womack. It's going to be a camp competition there at nickel. How about Kalia Davis out of Central Florida? This guy is like, if I had to explain Kalia Davis to somebody, I would say what he looks like, you put on his tape and you messed up the aspect ratio of the video and you squashed it. Have you ever done that? Where it's like, it's squashed. You're like, these guys look funny. He looks like that, but
that was me before we got started today, right?
Wait, what?
How I look squished?
Yeah, when we were actually jumping on the podcast on YouTube, Croc's screen was smashed. That was horizontally. Kalia Davis looks like it's, I think it's Kalia is how you pronounce it, is smashed vertically. And he looks like, you know, like, I don't know, Mario when he gets, or, you know, when Mario jumps on one of the Koopa Troopers or whatever. I think it's crazy. He was a former linebacker that grew out of that into a defensive end that continued to grow out of that into a defensive tackle. And he looks like a linebacker who weighs 300 pounds. And I know there's been some comparisons to DJ Jones. And I think even John Lynch brought up DJ Jones talking about him. He's not as thick as DJ Jones, like through the ankles and through the body. DJ Jones was more of a power player than Kalia Davis. Kalia Davis can really burst though upfield as a former linebacker. He's still pretty athletic at basically 6 feet and at 300 pounds. But my comp for him, he looks like Lavon Kirkland. Do you remember Lavon Kirkland?
Yeah, out of number 99, 95 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, linebacker.
Middle linebacker that weighed like 200 90 pounds. Like he was.
Yeah, you don't got those backers anymore.
That was some old school stuff there at linebacker. So he looks like he's just short and wide. And if you want someone who can win the leverage battle, but still has that disruptive ability and that burst off the line, he's a fun player, and I think he's going to be a fan favorite. He's got a torn ACL since October, though, so might start the season on the PUP list. So we'll see when he shows up, but it'll be a fun
my red shirt.
Yeah, maybe even a red shirt, but you know, depth there. I think, and to be honest, sort of like Kevin Givens vibes. You know, that guy is a late round pick, undrafted free agent. There's another undrafted free agent out of Fresno State, Kevin Atkins, who, by the way, we talked. Do you remember when we talked about Kevin Atkins before the draft? I said, look out for him as maybe a Mr. Irrelevant or a late round pick for the 49ers, because there was, according to Benjamin Albright, Kevin Atkins out of Fresno State had a really good visit with a team in the NFC West. And apparently that team was probably the 49ers, because the 49ers ended up signing Kevin Atkins out of Fresno State. I think he's about 6'1", 6'2", 305 pounds. A really good career at Fresno State. He had 7 sacks as a senior, 13 tackles for loss. Another sort of under the radar player that's one of those try hard guys that maybe isn't huge height, weight, speed wise, but you know, the Kevin Givenses of the world, the 49ers have been really good at finding those guys, and Chris Kocurek is really good at coaching those guys up. And the 49ers clearly aren't looking for that 330 pound nose tackle. They want penetrators on the defensive line. So, you know, if you're low to the ground, that's good, but they don't want you too much over 300, 305 pounds.
Right. You mean a guy quick off the ball that can penetrate to the backfield right now?
That's it. And I think the number 22, by the way, Davis wore 22 at UCF, and he's got like his belly sticking out below the uniform. It's like everything just looks weird with that guy. Doesn't look right. And I think it adds to how out of place he looks as a defensive lineman, because he's a former linebacker. He's got that build, and then plus wearing number 22. Would you be against a defensive tackle wearing 22, Croc?
Not ideal.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I had a feeling you would say that. How much have you seen of Tariq Castro Fields, Croc, the 49ers' third sixth rounder, corner out of Penn State?
I have watched a lot more of him than I have Womack, but obviously, you know, I haven't watched any of Womack yet. I like it. And one thing I just noticed, because I saw him on my timeline, somebody had retweeted his video, and it was really cool video about, you know, kind of getting drafted. You could see him like at his pro day talking to John Lynch, things like that. And I clicked on his profile. I'm like, oh, we follow each other. I had no idea. So a lot of these prospects, they follow me in the process. Like, you know, some of them will message like, hey man, take a look at my film and stuff like that. I haven't engaged in any conversations with him, but I was pleased with what I saw, in the sense of what I believe he can potentially come. I saw more encouraging things with his film than I did with Danny Gray.
More on those, by the way. We're going to have an entire episode probably talking about Danny Gray, the wide receiver position, talking about Drake Jackson and the edge position, how those guys all fit in. We got plenty of time throughout the rest of spring and summer to get into those more in depth, and Croc and I will both have our thoughts as we put in the time and the work and watch a lot more of the tape on all of these prospects, including Tariq Castro Fields. But the little I've seen of Tariq Castro Fields, obviously he's athletic. He worked out really well. He's got, you know, some size too. And generally you don't find someone late sixth round who's 6'1", 197, runs, you know, 4.4 flat like Tariq Castro Fields does. Some people talked about maybe even he had some safety potentially. Some safety versatility.
I see corner.
Some physicality, but he's built like a corner. He's a narrow-hipped, narrow-shouldered guy.
Yeah, I see corner. I see good feet. I see him play with anticipation. I see him run with vertical pushing routes well. Now, this is me talking about two films that I've watched.
Yeah.
And we'll, again, dive more into detail of it. But I see a cornerback.
Yep. And I see someone who probably should have gone higher than late sixth round. If you're just looking at traits, and we'll see what he turns into. But, you know,
I would not have batted an eye at him going higher. Like, let's say if he was the 49ers' 105th pick, you know, in the third round, last pick. And I watched his film, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, this is
traits to work
with. We'll see. We'll see. Some good stuff to work with.
What do you think about Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant? First of all, I like that Brock Purdy has played so much football. I like that he is not somebody who would ever, like, threaten Trey Lance's job or anything like that. Like, they didn't draft a fourth round quarterback. They drafted pick 262, right? He might not make the team. Maybe
you see who did draft a fourth round quarterback?
The Patriots. Here's the thing is the Patriots are getting crushed because Cole Strange in the first round, that was one of their best picks. They had an awful draft after that.
Well, we don't know if it's awful. You drafted that guy. But listen, obviously I was live with Isaiah Stanback, and he talked about his time with the New England Patriots and just how it was. And it is as business as it gets. And I think it takes a certain type of player to go there. You would think, I don't know, Kendrick Bourne seems to be having an amazing time, but it takes a specific type of player to really kind of buy into what it is that they're doing. And maybe they looked for guys that are just going to come in, work extra hard, harder than you're going to work anywhere else, and fit the culture of what they do. So it might look odd to the outsiders, right? Whereas, like, you drafted this guy and this guy, and Kyle Shanahan said Coach Strange looked like a first round pick as well. So I don't know if he's just talking, but
I'll say this. If Cole Strange was the 34th pick, nobody would be talking about it. Nobody would have batted an eye if he was a very high second rounder, but he was a quote unquote first round pick. And I think that's why it really stuck out.
When a lot of people thought he'd be a late day two guy.
Yeah. Or like, I thought for sure he'd be in play for the 49ers at 61. So, you know, 50s, 60s wouldn't have been shocking at all. If he was there in the third round, that wouldn't have been surprising. It was a little bit
93. I thought he'd be there around 93.
That's what I was hoping for. But it was kind of like, I think his stock was closer to Cam Jurgens, where it's like, man, Cam Jurgens probably won't get to 93 if he's there at 61. And Cam Jurgens didn't even get to 61 either. So neither Cole Strange, who were my two favorite for the 49ers on the offensive line, neither one of them even got to 61 anyway. Brock Purdy, though, I liked that he was happy about being Mr. Irrelevant, because, you know, people talk about at that point, it's better to be an undrafted free agent, pick your destination, get a little extra bonus money for signing with the team. Brock Purdy didn't care. He loved it. He was excited about being Mr. Irrelevant, being the last pick to the 49ers. So that was cool. But they gave Nate Sudfeld some guaranteed money. Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster. Clearly, the 49ers are not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what I read in this. And look, it's the last pick in the seventh round. Maybe we shouldn't look too much into it, but this tells me they expect Jimmy Garoppolo to not be around.
Well, you talked about giving Nate Sudfeld the guaranteed money. I think that tells you that they didn't expect Jimmy to be around, but it is what it is. And we had this conversation on set about the future of Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield, where it's a similar situation. Not sure exactly what to do for him. Where is he going to get traded to? They don't know. But what do you do? And I believe Kyle Shanahan when he says, you know, it's not a guy that we just want to cut. And why would you? If you are looking at it from the perspective of just the team, like Kyle Shanahan, a head coach, and you know the value that Jimmy brings to your, like just being on your roster, it is better to have him on your roster than to just cut him and have him on the street. Like, why would I do that? We went to multiple NFC championship games and the Super Bowl with him. Why would I just cut that player? So from that standpoint, it's like, it makes a lot of sense to keep him, but it might not make the most sense for Trey Lance, who is going to have his ups and downs. So, but I say all that to say, I don't know if bringing in Brock Purdy says, 100% Jimmy Garoppolo won't be on the roster. Jimmy won't be on the roster if they can't move Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, if they can move him. But if they can't trade him and there's no spots opening, and even some teams like the Carolina Panthers, they drafted Matt Corral. So I don't know if they're going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. I would say maybe not. I don't know. It's a tough situation.
Yep. And it sounded like there were some talks after day one that the Panthers were talking with at least Baker Mayfield, and that they became there's an impasse there with the Browns and a disagreement about, you know, how much money each team was going to pay of Baker Mayfield's guaranteed contract, was around $19 million, similar to Darnold already. And so that's probably a similar problem with the 49ers engaged there. And then I don't know if that changed things, that they got Corral, they think they're done. But I don't know how many spots there are for Jimmy G. The Seattle Seahawks need Jimmy G as much as any team in the league probably at this point. I don't know what the Seahawks are doing. They passed on all those quarterbacks multiple times. They must really love Drew Lock. I don't know. But Brock Purdy, not like a specimen with his arm, but gets the ball out quick decisions, your classic West Coast quarterback. He's going to be really good at holding a clipboard. He's played a ton of football, started 46 games at Iowa State, and passed for 1 million yards, and he's played a lot of football. So I could see why Kyle Shanahan liked him, makes good decisions, gets the ball out quick, and can be a long-term backup, hopefully, for Trey Lance. Right. How about... I'm just going to list some of these guys that, and I haven't watched all of them. If I have, I'll let you know what I think about the undrafted free agents. I mentioned Adkins earlier, linebacker Jeremiah Gemmel from North Dakota, 6'1", 225 pounds. I have not watched him. Cyrus.
Hey, real quick. The Dakotas, yeah. South Dakota, North Dakota State, yeah. They did pretty good. They had a good amount of players go to the NFL. There were some linebackers, some running backs, some quarterbacks. Like, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted a quarterback from South Dakota. Like, they had some guys go to the league.
Absolutely. The Patriots drafted South Dakota, the Pierre Strong, the South Dakota running back, I think, in round 4. Taylor Hawkins, may he rest in peace. This is a different Taylor Hawkins, not the drummer for the Foo Fighters. This is a cornerback safety hybrid out of San Diego State, 6'1", 205. Signed as an undrafted free agent. Great name. Quantrez with 2 Z's and a Q. Quantrez Knight out of UCLA. 6 feet, 199. Defensive back. Fantastic name there. He had 65 tackles.
I think we can get him on the show. His agent, I believe, is in a group chat with me. And we might start working together. But let's see. Yeah. QK Knight. His agent.
There we go. Quantrez Knight coming to a podcast.
We'll work to get him on a pod.
All right. And let's see. Tasir Mack, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, 6'2", 190. Had a nice little career there, catching passes from Kenny Pickett. Tay Martin, a wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. Linebacker Sagun Alubi from San Diego State, 6'2", 220, an undersized athletic linebacker. And then a few players that really made some waves and 49ers fans got pretty happy about, and I'm excited to dive into the tape a little bit more on some of these guys. Leon O'Neal, Texas A&M, safety, 6'1", 210 pounds. Jason Poe out of Mercer, who's about 6'2", 300. I mean, he and Clyde.
Did you see him running routes?
Yes. Dude, he legitimately might be as much of a fullback as he is probably. I think he'll be a center in the NFL. So he's a developmental center. I think he's going to be a fan favorite for the 49ers, probably a practice squad guy, but he could see some time at fullback.
We talked a good amount about him. You know, I'm on top of the Locked On NFL draft show, I also do draft season with the New York Giants and Tony Pauline. And he was one of the guys that we talked about as kind of a late riser and how people had liked him. And our scouting reports, mine and Tony Pauline's, was pretty similar on him as a prospect. But we did not evaluate him as a fullback. And the way he was running those routes in the video I saw and catching the ball, how fluid he looked. I mean, I was like, this is one of the most impressive things I've seen in a while. It was very impressive.
People love this guy. He's got like a cult following already. And I believe he blew up one of the All-Star games. It wasn't Senior Bowl. And I don't know if it's even the Shrine game. But Gino Camilleri, what's the other bowl? What's the other All-Star games? Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, though, was at one of those All-Star games, and he said he was like the star of the show. He was amazing, and he's super athletic, very low to the ground. He's a bowling ball. He'll probably, he's an interior offensive lineman, so center or guard, but he can move. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think the 49ers could have some fun with him maybe in the preseason. I don't know if they'll unleash him, though, during the regular season if he'll make the roster or not. But another center, and the 49ers didn't draft a center or a safety, which is – eyebrow raising, to say the least, I think. And we'll get more into that stuff. But Donovan West out of Arizona State, again, like you talked about with Tariq Castro Fields, Donovan West, a lot of fans liked him in round three. If he would have been pick 105, nobody would have thought anything of it. Probably would have graded it as a great draft pick. He went undrafted, but did sign with the 49ers as an undrafted free agent out of Arizona State.
I think if they would have picked him at 105 and with the next pick taking Neil or the safety,
yeah.
Then 49ers would be like, oh, address center, address safety. Thank you. Because I know 49 fans like them, but they went undrafted. So, obviously that kind of settles down the hype a little bit. But I think they are two prospects that at least the 49 fans have liked. Again, I've watched Donovan Smith, so I have my take on him. But I haven't watched the safety yet. So that's a guy that, I can't wait to dive in at.
Donovan West.
My bad. What do I call him? Donovan Neal?
You call him Donovan Smith.
Oh, who the heck is Donovan Smith?
I don't know who Donovan Smith is, but I know I think I called
Donovan Smith is Donovan Smith. I played with him at Modesto Junior College.
Oh, he was a receiver.
Donovan Smith was a receiver, a little small white guy. Played with him at Modesto JC.
Yeah, quicker than fast.
Yeah, first guy in, first last guy out.
I love it. All right. So that is the 49ers draft haul. Of course, that is just a brief overview of all the picks the 49ers made. Would love to hear how you feel about it at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker on Twitter, or leave it in the comments on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow and dive in much deeper into all these prospects. We're going to start hitting some film hard and starting with the earlier part of the draft year. I've already watched a ton of Drake Jackson. Love the pick there. Going deeper into Tyrion Davis Price. I think I called Tyrion Davis Price Tyrion Davis Smith on day two of the draft as well. So we're getting used to these newest 49ers right now. Danny Gray, I know Croc is diving deep into that film already. So we're going to have some fun and we'll have it all for you. Thanks for making us your first listen here, and we'll be back tomorrow. Locked On 49ers.